This is Shabby, and coming up next on Spox Talk is the Toig Effect. Welcome to the Toig Effect. This is your host, Toig. Today, we take a look at the current war in Iraq. Today, we unmask the real mission in Iraq. By now, only the mentally challenged and morally corrupt people in America still believe that the U.S. invaded Iraq for noble and just reasons. They will usually bounce around between to rid Saddam the dictator and to bring democracy to the country of Iraq as the noble and just reasons for illegally entering a sovereign nation to wage war. The lie that started out with weapons of mass destruction and then turned to avenging 9/11 has now petered out into a delta of lethargic pre-written statements that are recited back ad nauseam upon request. While to some it is still treasonous to stand and shout, "The Emperor has no clothes," to most it has become painfully obvious that the mission in Iraq was never about weapons of mass destruction, nor 9/11. It was never about Al-Qaeda, nor the Taliban. So now the question is no longer, why did we enter, nor when are we leaving? The question has become, how are we tracking compared to where we wanted to be? Up to now, each new event and each new month brought fresh and startling discoveries that put the distance between today and the last day of the war ever farther apart. Let's take a moment and revisit an overview of the Iraq War to date, shall we? Pre-March 2003. It's all about weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda, biological and chemical weapons, etc. We were told, among other lies, that we would be out in 60 to 90 days, that the war would cost next to nothing, and that the oil from Iraq would probably pay for the whole thing. We were constantly told how the American way of life was being threatened by this third world despot, and that we could be attacked within 45 minutes. Who could ever forget Rice's exclamation, "Let's not let the next terrorist attack be a mushroom cloud." Ooh, effect. Nice imagery. Too bad there is absolutely no proof that any terrorist organization on the face of the planet has its hands on the bomb. Anytime the government wants to instill fear in its citizenry, here's the ticket. Mention the fact that they may have a nuclear bomb, and the citizens will vote away all their liberties in a heartbeat. Of course, if you mention that they may also have ray guns, the votes stop pouring in. Nice imagery by this administration, but that's all it is. No substance. May 2003. Mission accomplished, and bring it on. With one fell swoop, President Bush announced the end of Phase 1 and the beginning of Phase 2. He urged the insurgents to take up arms against him, and guess what? They did. They followed his every direction. Summer 2003. The insurgency thing takes off. The Sunni Triangle is born. All of a sudden, a new menace has crept up onto the scene. Under Saddam, insurgency was met with brutal destruction. Remember what happened to the Shias after Gulf War I? President Bush the First urged them to rise up in defiance. But when Saddam started killing them in the thousands, Bush replied, just kidding. Not one suicide bomber nor sustained insurgency existed under Saddam's regime. In 2003, all summer long, the insurgency grows steadily. Another unusual thing happens that summer as well. Paul Bremer takes over and immediately dismisses the military, the civil, and most of the Iraqi government. He instantly creates a 70% unemployment rate in Iraq. Suddenly, all police are out of a job. All soldiers are out of a job. All civil servants are out of a job. Well, he actually kept two ministries, and when you find out which two, you'll know why he did that. One final side note to this. While everyone and his brother in Iraq was getting laid off, the soldiers were all told to take their weapons home with them. Also, all the known army weapons depots were left virtually unguarded, ensuring their eventual pillage by persons unknown. Fall and winter 2003. Abu Ghraib happens. While the rest of the world will only hear about it 6 months later, this is when the U.S. demonstrates its first torture abuses on tape. At the same time, the effects of another U.S. policy is being amplified in the world press. The U.S. military has told its troops to be wary of everyone, as anyone could be a potential terrorist. The U.S. government, on the other hand, has insisted to the Iraqi people that they need to go about their business as if nothing unusual is going on. The results are tragic. Whole wedding families are slaughtered by U.S. troops because they act like Iraqis and fire off their gun in celebration of the joyous occasion. Innocent Iraqis are gunned down in their cars, with their children left screaming by the roadside. This incites more insurgency. 2004, 2005, throughout the following 2 years, the insurgency has grown steadily. In the spring of 2004, the Abu Ghraib story came out. It followed, surprisingly, two of the quietest months of the war up to that date. Just as the insurgency seemed to be tapering off, here comes a whole different level of abuse upon the world scene. Once Abu Ghraib hit the world press, all U.S. complaints that the terrorists weren't following the Geneva Convention fell on deaf ears. 2006. The war continues, and with each month and with each event, peace and the end to this war seem farther away. Could this really be part of the plan? These facts we do know. 1. The U.S. provided Saddam with weapons of mass destruction in the 1980s under Reagan. They also knew that he destroyed them in 1992. The U.S. knew Saddam was no threat before going into Iraq. 2. The U.S. also knew that there was no connection between Saddam and international terrorism. Though Saddam was an evil megalomaniac, he was a loner, not a groupie. 3. The U.S. immediately laid off 70% of the workforce in Iraq and handed over all the weaponry they possessed to them. Why any country would allow ex-enemy soldiers to keep their weapons is beyond me, but we did. 4. When the insurgency was dying down, the military pulled out a 6-month-old story about torture and abuse. Abu Ghraib. In February and March of 2004, the deaths of U.S. soldiers rattled the slowest of the war, but Abu Ghraib made sure that the insurgency roared its evil head once again. 5. The amount of Iraqi oil being pumped out of the ground barely meets pre-war levels, and could be much higher if this were really the real reason the U.S. is in there. 6. The U.S. government is constantly saying, the end is just around the corner, trust me. I don't want to set a timetable, but I can feel the end a-coming, Vice President Cheney said around a year ago. The insurgents are in their last throes. The lies never stop, and the American sheeple gobble each new one up as if it signals a change in the paradigm. They tell themselves, well, Cheney has always lied up to now, but maybe he's changed. Maybe he knows something we should know. 7. In the next Toig Effect on the topic, we'll discuss the real reason the U.S. is in Iraq. We'll discuss the reason behind the ruse and why it was necessary to incite an entire nation to provoke an unjust war. For the Toig Effect, this is Toig.
When Dell Computer needs a technician to provide their award-winning service in southern Vermont, who do they call? Chester Microchips. And perhaps you should too. Whether you need to troubleshoot a problem, upgrade your system, network your computers, or build a website, Chester Microchips can help. With over 15 years of experience in the computer industry, Chester Microchips has been providing expert computer service to individuals and business in Windsor and Windham counties since 1999. They are centrally located on the Green in Chester. Best reached by telephone at 802-875-2016 or on the web at chester-chips.com. That's it for this week's Toig Effect on SpoxTalk.com.